was really looking forward to these 2 weeks as a soloist and as a lecturer on church music and to be involved in the solo vocal sessions. When the decision came, you know, when we heard about Greg Fünfgeld, certainly not an easy thing to deal with because you're just talking about a few days preceding your arrival here. And indeed, there were several key national figures that were very, very close indeed to coming to be with us, at least for part of the time, but because of the one conflict or another, it would have only been possible for a day or two, and Alice Parker, John Bailey, my word, you know, some very nice people. But at any rate, thinking in terms of keeping my sanity, which is the difference between working very hard at music that I know well, or perhaps having to go with someone who didn't know the music at all, here I am. Now, the thing is that, as Alfred Fremder mentioned, I have edited a good half of the music that we will be dealing with here. That means edited from the original manuscripts and so on, and including the English translations. And my wife and I, I'm very sorry she couldn't be here, my wife and I work as a team in translation work. And so the Bach 64, the Zeit Weltscheine Liebe, that will be, that the translation that you find in your music there was done by my wife and myself. And in the meantime, after we were willing, so to say, to make fools of ourselves through translation work, because that I'll talk about that in a whole session one of these mornings, we've done in the meantime about somewhere between 65 and 70 of the J.S. Bach cantatas for Hensler in Stuttgart. And these are also included in miniature score in the Rilling recorded series, as I say, in miniature score. And then, of course, the solo cantatas had a lot to do with those, too. Just for your information, we will be, this coming Sunday, the pieces that we will sing will be the Christoph Graupner, Also hat Gott die Welt geliebet, God So Loved the World. That's a cantata for choir, SATB choir, soprano and bass solely, and strings and continual. That'll be our first piece. And then there will be a little solo cantata by Christoph Graupner. And then we will, after that, we will sing the Telemann, God So Loved the World, Also hat Gott die Welt geliebet. And finally, on that same program, we will do the Bach 64, Sehet Welt eine Liebe. Behold what love God the Father has shown to us. Now, that'll be the first week, and so rather than to talk on here now, why don't we sing together a little bit of this music, and let you have a little bit of a taste in it. I noticed, I looked around the room, we're pretty well divided between male and female, but I don't know whether we're well divided between tenor and bass and alto and soprano. Could we, for the sake of this session, could we perhaps move into the areas of the room, soprano, alto, tenor, bass? Could we just move there right now, please? And if you don't know, just remain seated. I don't care.
None of the above,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Mezzo soprano? Right. Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Good. Well.
I'll join the
side. Okay. 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 Let's please take the Graupner Also hat Gott die Welt geliebet. And just try reading this. Have any of you been in the reading sessions in the last 2 weeks? You? Well, three or four people. So this really will be reading. Then let's not sing text for now. Let's just sing do-do-do, you know? Just the neutral syllable. About this tempo, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do. Okay? Let's start from the very, very beginning, okay? And just in reading through this music is very vocal. You know? This was a church musician, Christoph Graupner, Darmstadt, over 50 years, or about 50 years of his career, contemporary of Bach. You'll be hearing more about him during these days. You will hardly be able to tolerate it, I suppose, by the end, because I did my dissertation on him, you know. But the thing is with this music, that he had to write it in such a manner that people could sing it readily, not amateurs. He had very good musicians at his disposal, unlike Bach on many occasions. But with Graupner, he had excellent musicians, but nonetheless, even for very good musicians, you have to write the music well. It has to be well crafted. And if you want to keep your job, it better sound good too. It better have a nice flow about it. And I think you could sense here that the lines fit very nicely together, and the one part complements the other in a very natural way. So I hope you'll have fun singing that. This was the very first cantata in modern times that was published by this composer, who wrote over 1,400 cantatas. I'm not intending to edit all 1,400, by the way. Could we do just the first few phrases in German, please? Also, that's the first thing you have to write.
Also hat Gott die Welt geliebet, geliebet. Just sing, please, the first few measures. That would be measures 6 through 10. Okay? German too. All right. Well, very good. I think there is really hope for us. That's wonderful. In this same little cantata, now it's not in your scores, there, after this biblical dictum, there is a bass recitative, an aria, which in this case I am not going to sing. It just kills me. But when I arrived here yesterday and we were talking with the soloist, since you know it's really not very good to conduct and sing the solo all at the same time. You know, I had sung this in the modern premiere performance and so on. But then, fortunately, one of my good colleagues from many years ago at Indiana University, Jay Willoughby, which many of you may know here, I think he sings around here in St. Louis. He will be singing this recitative and aria. Then a chorale, O Jesus Christ, mein höchstes Licht. Could we sing a little bit of that, please? That's the chorale number 4. A very interesting little accompaniment to it, but let's not do that part first. Let's just sing the vocal parts first, please. Again, just on do-do-do. Just for a few measures so that you get accustomed to it. I'm sure you'll recognize the melody. Yeah. Here we go. 1, 2. That again in German, please. You know, O Jesu Christ, mein höchstes Licht. No, this is not supposed to be a rehearsal. This is just a get acquainted session. But could you sing the A vowels and Jesus, and not Jesus, but Jesus? It's almost like E. Huh? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Very, very close. The outer formation is exactly the same as for an E. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. But if you sing, and the minute you drop your jaw, it will sound American or Prussian. Right? Huh? O Jesus Christ, mein höchstes Licht, der, that's another high one, der du in meiner, another high one, Seelen, very high A. And that has nothing to do with pinching in the throat. It has to do just with a vowel that is very close to E. Could we do the same thing again, starting measure 5, just the 4 parts, in German, please. Here we go. See if we can get a little bit of this charming accompaniment in here. The first violin goes pum 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 pum, and the others go pum pum pum. It's a very interesting little thing. It's not meant to frowned upon. I mean, it's not frowning music. It's joyful music, okay? So Graupner felt that God so loved the world, this was something to rejoice about. Okay? Comes a soprano aria and recitative, a lovely broad saraband for the soprano. I love God and His only Son. Whoever loves the world and sinning, so to say, good for them. You know, I love my God and His only Son. And then we have a repeat of the chorale, but this time with a different stanza. Du hast mich je und je geliebt. And then that high E will come in handy again. Let's take the, let's see. Wait a minute, let me do something just a little bit different here. The, on various occasions here, during these 2 weeks, we can, it's allowed, if we are up to it and would like to, we can sing as a choir in the Vespers services in the evening. And one of those potential opportunities, no pressure, would be this evening.
It's a little glory in if I should.
Now you understand there's no pressure, you know. I think some of you are already thinking, now we will be singing all of these lovely cantatas with the orchestra, but who of us has an orchestra in our church? And after all, our budget is, you know, $3.20 a year for violins. And what do we do? Do we have some practical music here? And through various sessions, also including the actual choir rehearsals and so on, we would like to bring some pieces that are just absolutely manageable, really, for anyone. Do we? Have they all gone around? Does everyone have one? Okay. Now this one. Let's do it in English. First of all, let's do it with do 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 again. Okay. Do 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 do. About that speed. Do 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 do. Just singing your parts. Do do. Here we go. 3, 4.
Praise, 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 praise
land and sing it again. How many of you have sung this piece before in one translation of? No one? All right, well, welcome aboard. Okay.
Here we go. Anything to say about what we're doing and why we're doing it? And see, this is supposed to be
We are singing.
Oh, we are singing. Okay.
Okay. We are picking up Professor Schmaltz said earlier. It's very, very easy with the church music. To be dominated by the emergencies of the day and the time. What can I do on Sunday? What can my choir actually accomplish on Sunday? What do I know? And really, these are not the questions we ask, they're not the worship. The tendency then is to just simply do what is on the shelf, do what you know that your choir can get round without any thinking at all. And there's a temptation to be concerned with musical technology, you know, getting the notes right, getting the music to sound okay, and that's it. And really what we're trying to do, it seems to be that the whole of this needs to move together, is to, yes, we must not let go of the technology. We must get it right. We must get it well. But what we must also do is to be sure that we know why we're doing it. As you go through any order of service, you should be able to say, this piece is here, not because we were able to do it, but this is here, not because the master said we ought to do it, because he likes it, or because I like it, or because my client is here, but there should be some good reason why that particular piece is in that particular position, in that particular service, on that particular day. Now what we've just done, of course, is that we've sung a glory which we sung at any particular time. But that's the cleverness of your planning. Surely, as we prepare our music, we do plan ahead for the services, but we also plan for those times where we will have to sing almost at the drop of a hat, so that we have things in the bar, a glory. Surely that there are many places where you can use this, so that if you carry up the sleeve of the choir, you can use it at a drop of a hat. But it fits, because you have thought ahead that you are preparing suitable music that can be slotted in. So it may give the impression of just being pulled off the shelf just at that immediate moment. In fact, you have already been thinking way ahead, so that when such an occasion arises, that you know, half a choir hasn't turned up, what do? Have something in the back of your mind that is simple that the choir can manage on that Sunday, but still will fit into the service and not appear to be something that has just come off the show, but that really can fit in to the liturgy and to the flow. All too often we think of music in worship in terms of the set piece that is done, and then we go to something else. And really, what I think that the Basque of the Yuba, and all the Orthodox theologians of Yuba, was that worship is a progression. If you like, there is a storyline to a service of worship. There is a beginning. There are certain climaxes, and there is a never end. And the music and the music of worship should contribute to this this movement, this sense of direction that a service of worship should have. All too often we think of worship in static terms. You know, warmth. That is worship, few hymns, sermon, and that's it. But I think we should be thinking in dynamic terms how the service can move within itself, how everything, prayers, lections, and music should all dovetail and fit together. Sorry, that was all in my head.
Good. No, thank you. No, that fit. That coincides very nicely with the rationale, for this little Gloria Patri that I pulled out, because I can recall a couple of years ago when I was director of music in the oldest Lutheran congregation in the Pacific Northwest. I was confronted with choosing music, for the year. And for the 2 years and whatever, I was thinking, how can I make this liturgy be more meaningful? How can I make it come alive? How can I make the music without just depending on those big so-called music Sundays? When I have a big budget to do something, how can I make the sort of the ordinary Sunday special? And I came on this idea of the Gloria Patri compositions. And depending on what kind of an anthem I would be singing, I would choose a Gloria Patri that would coincide, not necessarily the same composer, but there are all sorts of Gloria Patri settings, whether it's Purcell or Schütz here. Of course, Schütz just has them by the dozens, at the end of almost every little piece that he wrote, and they're lovely, and you just have those on tap, and you can pull them out, All right, let's look at the Telemann, please. Telemann was, of course, the most famous musician at the time of Bach. It certainly wasn't Bach. Graupner ran a strong third or fourth or whatever, and Bach was way down the list somewhere, so to say. Not because he wasn't great. He was great, of course, but so far as just the immediate popularity, as far as just being sheerly famous, it was Telemann. And, we don't have Telemann today like we have Bach today, and that's for, I think, basically good reason. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that he wasn't famous for very good reasons. He wrote some excellent music. And this is a one piece taken out of a two-volume set that is just simply called the Biblical Sayings, Biblische Sprüche, and these are all biblical dictums that are usable. Let's say they're about 2, 3, at the most 4 minutes long. They're all on these key Bible verses, like "Behold the Lamb of God," or "God so loved the world," or some such, or "The Lord is my shepherd," or some such thing as that. And they are all set three-part. SAM. It's not very low. Most tenors can sing this. Here and there you'll find a low G. Of course, sing the upper G. If you have a low G, you sing it, of course. But it doesn't go too high. I don't think it ever goes above an E natural for the basses. And Telemann writes in his foreword to this whole set, essentially, have fun with these. Use them any way you want. He was an enterprising businessman too, and he wrote this set of pieces to be used in church, and he wanted to make sure they had a widespread usage. And so, in this case, you'll see there that you can have the voices doubled by, say, violins, violas, whatever. You could also have these parts doubled by, say, a couple of flutes, you know, or a flute, an oboe, and a bassoon, or I don't know about, well, clarinets. I mean, he was starting to use clarinets at the end of his career, but whatever. You can, if you have various instruments around your church, consider usage. Don't let it go too far afield, you know. I don't know about saxophones. At any rate, these pieces should be meant as practical pieces. You can do these with solo voices and choir. You notice it begins with soprano and alto soli, and then tutti for all the choir, and then it goes back to solo and so on. You can also do it only by the soloists. If you have two or three soloists, you can have if you don't have a good male soloist, you could simply have the lower part played on a cello or a bass instrument. Yes, Robin.
Could I pick you up on saxophone?
Yes.
In London, there is a saxophone quartet who play the whole classical range of music, and it is remarkable how well they do it.
Yes.
So if you do have this family of saxophones, don't just whisper in a pan for this music. Mm-hmm. Provide they play with straight tone.
Yeah.
And there's a family, you know, if you've got
right.
A alto, tenor, baritone, at least. You would be very surprised, in fact, how well they can sound with the competition.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, if the mind boggles at the source.
Sure, sure.
But when you try and do it, it's amazing how well it can come off.
Good. Let's try reading through a little bit of this, at least. Please, everyone sing everything for now, just for this rehearsal. Sing on a neutral syllable for now. Okay, your first note will be sopranos. Okay, there we go, ready? Also hat Gott die Welt geliebet, dass seinen eingeborenen Sohn gab. And that's as far as it goes, okay?
No.
Here we go. About, I think it's something like 3 minutes long or so. No? Typically, Telemann used these little Sprüche before and after the cantatas. So these were meant as sort of an adornment in a way for the cantatas. I could imagine that he used them in a number of ways, but at any rate, it certainly, especially if the dictum itself was within the gospel reading of the day, I mean, I can hardly think of a stronger way of bringing the main saying of that particular Sunday really to the consciousness of the people. The organist.
Ornaments.
Oh, ornaments. Well, we'll talk about that. Of course, you see that the main ornaments here are written in the solo parts, and which is not to say that the choir is not allowed to ever sing ornaments. Yeah, there. Let's see.
And maybe 10 in the alto.
10. Oh, right. That's true. I was looking over at 15. I didn't see that repeated. But essentially these trills, there's a wide number of possibilities here. The main thing here is if you do anything, and of course it is optional, but the main thing is that you make it something that you can do very well, very clearly. And I would say, first of all, as a director, make sure that you have experimented with the various possibilities, whether a simple appoggiatura, which very often is enough, or just one quick turn, one quick back and forth from the upper neighbor to the note, and back to the upper neighbor into the note, or a genuine full-blown trill. It is important, if you're going to do it with choir, though, that you work it out, I mean, every note, you agree upon how many times you're going to go up and down and so on. Make sure that you can sing it very clearly, and then you sing it for the choir. Because you see, a trill, or most ornaments, should not be done metronomically rigid. Okay? So it's going to be very important that you can let the choir be, so to say, you're good imitators. So you make sure you know what you want to do on it, and then do it. So a simple appoggiatura, a simple going from the upper neighbor to the note, the upper neighbor into the note, and then hang on to it however long you must until you're supposed to move on, or an additional up and down, okay? I think that would be about enough for a choral ornament at this point. Yeah, I will be saying several things about vocal ornamentation during these days. It's a good question. Some people are absolutely, you know, allergic to it, and I think that goes to an extreme. And on the other hand, to try to make the average local church choir be imitators of the Early Music Society, whatever their name may be, which love it. I have a lot of fun in Early Music Society kind of activities, but then, you know, to make that become sort of the thing that you're after is to get the trill right. There's a lot more to be considered here, but if you can do it clearly, do it really well. And as I say, very often a simple appoggiatura already gives the gesture toward an ornament, and that's very often quite enough. You know. In our last minutes, let's look at the final piece for our first concert. This will be our real meat and potatoes piece for this week. This is the biggest piece that we have to do, and it's the most taxing. It's everything. It's really a substantial piece of music. It's a great big motet, if you will. This opening movement goes on for quite some time, but it is a lovely piece, and see now what kind of love this is which the Father has shown us. A lovely text. Let's stand already by reading through it, okay? I'd like to conduct this in a slow tune. Sing just on do-do-do again, please. Okay?
Lovely.
Here we go. particular place to stop here. It just keeps going until measure 98. And all of a sudden, you have a genuine change where you can say, all right, now here we can stop. And you can say, well, I'll go back 93 measures to pick up that B flat, you know. Let's work just on the opening theme, please, just for a couple of minutes here. It's a lovely theme. Let's have the sopranos and tenors. Everyone be seated, please. Let's have just the sopranos and tenors, and anyone else who would like to join them, wherever it's within your range, singing that opening theme, just for a few measures. Okay? Sopranos and tenors in particular, basses and altos, as far as you would like to, okay? Here we go. Something important for you to realize that from the very beginning is that Bach is speaking here. It's absolute speech. You could say, well, melismatic passages can never be speech. You know, I mean, oh yes it is. Or have you ever tried to translate a cantata like this, you know, and get the right syllable in the right place? You have to come up with a very good word, a suitable word here. In this case, has shown us, and he is emphasizing this. And so he's saying, see now what kind of love this is which the Father has shown us. You know? I mean, that is preaching. We heard about that in the lecture a few minutes ago. And we will see this again and again in these 2 weeks, not only with Bach, but with his contemporaries. We have this whole preaching element, yeah? it's interpretive, it's preaching, it's hermeneutics, it's exegesis, it's all these things in one. And so every time you sing in your part this main theme, remember that you're preaching, so to say, this message. You know? See now what kind of love this is which the Father has shown us. Seht, welch eine Liebe hat uns der Vater erzeiget. Notice the word welch, you know, what kind, welch eine Liebe. It's on a higher note. It's not a high note, but it's a higher note than the notes surrounding it, emphasizing the idea of what kind of, you know, this. It's gentle, it's beautiful, it's caring. And think in our world today, what do we need? Let's not go across the Atlantic. They have their own problems, and across the Pacific. What about here in America? What do we need? We need this love of Christ. We need this caring, not a silly, erotic sort of love. We need this agape, this godly love. And it's not in trite, put in trite terms. Sometimes, you know, I'm sure you in the church, I mean, I'm faced with it all the time. We have people saying, why can't we do this little piece of whatever, you know, this little piece of music? And I don't pronounce judgments against all other kinds of music, but I do say, can you take it seriously? I don't mean is it serious, like somber music, but can you take it seriously? If you would be faced with a decision or getting through a situation which is very important, say a death in the family, a loved one, or some other crisis, would you be able to sing whatever that kind of music is and that kind of a statement theologically to your betterment, to your strength, to your comfort, and so on? I could sing this music very well indeed in a moment like that. I wouldn't have to revise a thing. I could just take it like it is and start singing it. I've been through tragedies, and I know that this works. Not that I worship Bach, but certainly I know that the theology that is behind this, and then the way that Bach and many of his contemporaries presented these ideas, these are ideas that are presented in a way that can help us in everyday life. So I'll stop preaching at that point, but I do want you to know that this means a lot to me personally, not just because I'm a fan of Baroque music. Okay? We still have a few minutes, don't we? Yeah. Let's sing on just a little bit more. And this time let's let the altos and basses start here by singing the alto notes, basses, of course, an octave lower. Measure 7, please. Here we go. Together. Tenors and sopranos together, and then where the at the very beginning, and then where the altos enter, please basses sing along with them. We'll just sing a few notes that we'll stop very soon, okay then? It's not weak. It's very strong. It's very strong. Now, I'm sure you're not even having to read between the lines that we will have to spend some time on these melismatic passages, getting them straight. I would say the main thing, as an old singer, the main thing that you have to do there is keep in mind where the half steps and the whole steps are. And if you can do that, you have it essentially. Be very brave at that point, and don't be unaware of whether you're heading for a half step or a whole step. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, speak up and we'll let you know. You know, but at any rate, I think that's one of the most important comments that I could give you on that. And all right. Also to point out in this setting, look please at measures 18, for example, measure 18. Notice the syncopation there. Eretz ha'ayget ziyet ziyet. Or if you turn over then to measures 25 through whatever, 28, here in the various parts you have this ziyet ziyet. The syncopation, it has a wonderful way of sort of telling you, look, look, look. Huh? Not just look, but look. Huh? There is a gentleness about that, as well as, I just think, simply a musical interest. Huh? All right, let's turn on, please, to the number 2 chorale, and let's just sing one or two of these chorales just for the fun of it here at the end. Okay. Firmly, strongly. If you'd like to sing it in German, just go ahead and do it, okay? Do your best. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Wait a minute, where is it? Was frag ich nach der Welt? What is there in the world with all this idle treasure? Number four, let's read through that one, please. Joined in the evenings in our rehearsals from 7 to 9 with approximately 20, 30, 40 further singers here from St. Louis. And so you will be strengthened by that very nicely. And are there any announcements that need to be made at this point? Alfred?
I believe that several of you people who are new to our campus have inquired about a possible tour of the campus. So you could tell me now how many might be interested on Thursday at 12:30, which is right after lunch, in taking a tour of the campus. If you've seen the campus before, you won't. Okay. We'll keep on making that a particular announcement. But at 12:30 on Thursday, under the arches, under the tower, is where the tour will congregate. And you'll get a cook's tour of the campus at that time. There is Vespers this evening at 9:30 in Winnicum, which is across the road from here. Okay.
Our rehearsal at 7 is downstairs, this evening is downstairs in Studio C. When you go out the door here, you go down the steps, and I think you'll find it very nicely. 7 o'clock.
Okay. Studio C. Any questions at this point? Robin?
Are you leading the tour, Al?
No, I'm not leading it.
Oh, well, that's good, because we don't want to be led by a stranger.
Oh. I'm Senator Mott.
Right. You take that back to England. Okay. Any questions at this point? Supper, I believe, is served from 4:30 to 5:30 on campus here. So it's already a few minutes before 5.